You may be seated. We are in Romans 5, verses 6 through 11 this morning. We are in a section of Romans where really Paul is giving assurance to believers, reminding us of from where we have come and where we are going. And so these are good words for believers. If you're not a believer this morning, you can still listen, and these can be words that draw you in that you might share in this assurance that God gives to His people. So I'm going to read Romans 5, 6 through 11. This is God's Word. "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Our Father in heaven, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the movie Saving Private Ryan, Captain Miller, played by Tom Hanks, has been fatally wounded in a battle against Nazi soldiers. Some of you have probably seen this movie. Captain Miller's mission was to search Europe, find Private Ryan, and send him safely home. All of Private Ryan's brothers had been killed in the movie. They've already died in combat in World War II, and it's the policy of the United States government to bring this last brother home. And so Captain Miller and a group go to seek out Private Ryan to bring him home. But in trying to save Private Ryan, Captain Miller and most of his men die. Captain Miller and his men have paid a huge price to save the life of Private Ryan. And there are some words that Captain Miller says to Private Ryan just before he dies. He looks at Private Ryan and he moves his lips inaudibly. And Private Ryan, played by Matt Damon, says, "What, sir?" And so, pulling Private James Francis Ryan close to him as he dies, Captain Miller says, "James, earn this. Earn it." And then he dies. And so Private Ryan is left to live out his life with that word from Captain Miller: earn it. Well, we turn to a passage where we see someone has died for us. And we're going to see, this is, as pastors tend to do, we can title our sermons in ways to make them work for the season. What a Christmas gift! I don't think it wasn't very hard to come up with that title. What a Christmas gift! If you think about the passage I just read, we have here today the proof of God's love for us. What a Christmas gift we can have today on December 10th, 2023. I'm using the words of the passage itself: much less, much more, and more than that. Much less. We're going to see here in our first point, it's basically 2 points, and then the last point 3 is just a, a rejoicing at the conclusion. Much less, well, we're going to learn here, Christ died for weak, ungodly sinners and enemies. Much less. Why did I choose much less? Well, think of it like this. Think of it much less. What does that mean? Well, imagine our triathlete here in the back of the room says, "Hey, I'm going to ride 10 miles today. Come ride 10 miles with me." And you say, "I couldn't ride 10 kilometers with you, much less 10 miles, Mike." Well, that's what we're getting at here. Much less. We have been, what does it say? While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to die, but we could say, but much less would someone die. I mean, maybe they'll die for a righteous person, but would someone die? Would someone be willing to die for weak, ungodly sinners and enemies? But that's what the first point is. Yes, Christ died. What I want us to do for point one is just take a brief look at each of these four, the state that we were in when Christ died for us. Okay, now I'm actually going to do it in a little different order than it comes in the passage. We're going to look quickly at these four things. So here's the fourfold description of the recipients of the fruit of God's love. Okay, this is the proof of God's love today for us. Let's marvel at it. First of all, I want to talk about the fact that we're sinners. That's down in verse 8. God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Sinners. That is, we were people who had departed the way of righteousness. Okay, we weren't on the right path. We were on the wrong path. There's a wide path that leads to destruction and a narrow path that leads to life. We were on the wide path. All right, we had fallen short of God's standards. Y'all know that one definition of sin is like the arrow. You're shooting the arrow, you're aiming at the target, and you miss. We had missed the target. We were sinners. We had fallen short of His glory. God, it says, created us for His glory, and yet we had fallen short of it. We were sinners. This is God's word. Listen to the amazing word. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We were also known as the ungodly. That's in verse 6, the middle of verse 6. Christ died for the ungodly. Now, again, Paul goes on and says, look, maybe someone would die for a righteous person, but the ungodly? Ungodly. Instead of loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, the word here for ungodly is that we were actually in total rebellion against our Creator. Ungodly, without God's work in our life. Total rebellion against the one who made us. We have a God who made us, who fashioned us, who made us in His image, but outside of the work of His Holy Spirit, we're ungodly. We can't, you know, I think this is, even for believers, it's hard for us to accept this. Because we see around us God's grace, we see what we call His common grace, people doing things that are good, and in the present and temporal sense, they're good. We're glad. I mean, we are glad that there are unbelievers who do good things, who are good physicians, who are good officers of the law, even are good soldiers. And yet, as they do their work, they're not doing it for the Lord. They remain ungodly. Because there's no neutral ground. You're either for Jesus or you're against Him. Christ died for the ungodly. You know, just
Paul, just imagine, he really slows down and lets us hear it, each phrase. We just said, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for the ungodly. Also, enemies, verse 10. Enemies. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. There it is again. He's just taking each, just pressing it home. The wonder of it. We're His enemies. God hates sin. The Scripture tells us He's angry with the wicked every day. We were His enemies. We were hostile. And it's really, honestly, y'all, in this case, talking about enemies, it's more about His hostility to us than our hostility to Him. We just said we're in totally rebellion of Him and are talking about being ungodly. The fact that we're enemies means God is alienated from us and we are against Him. We're enemies. We were enemies. And yet, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. This is actually the first point in the New Testament where reconciliation, that whole idea, and for Paul's first time in Romans, reconciliation is taught, is preached, that we who were enemies have actually been reconciled, brought together. What unspeakable love that an enemy has been now brought into the family. And then, as the passage actually begins, we are weak and powerless. So not only are we sinners going down the unrighteous path, though He would lead us to the path of righteousness, not only are we ungodly in rebellion against Him, not only are we enemies, but the fact is we're weak, powerless to do anything about it. Powerless to do anything. Verse 6, while we were still weak, at the right time, we might say at the fullness of time, when the fullness of time had come, Christ died for the ungodly. We're weak. We have no ability to rescue ourselves. As Jim Boyce in his sermon on this mentions how he learned from another commentator that there are conditional impossibilities and there are unconditional impossibilities. Okay, a conditional impossibility would be, I have a debt I can't pay, but then someone gives me some money. Well, now I have the money and I can pay the debt. That's something that's impossible. Today it's impossible. I cannot pay this debt, but then if tomorrow somebody gives me the money, then I can go to the banker and I can pay the debt. But an unconditional impossibility means there's no way. There's no way. Okay, there's no way that we can be reconciled to God in and of ourselves. It's an unconditional impossibility. So why have I gone one by one through these four pieces of the bad news that really becomes remarkable good news when you realize here we are, sinners, ungodly, enemies, and weak? Well, it's the quote on the back of the bulletin from John Stott. This is the proof of God's love. The essence of loving is giving. The more the gift costs the giver, and the less the recipient deserves it, the greater the love is seen to be. The more the gift costs the giver, and the less the recipient deserves it, the greater the love is seen to be. Measured by these standards, God's love in Christ is absolutely unique. Here we have the one true living God, completely holy, loved us enough, as John 3:16 says, He gave His only begotten Son for us, that if we would believe in Him, we would not perish, but would have everlasting life. I really think the application of this is just meditate in wonder and in joy and in thanksgiving that while in this state, Jesus God sent His Son to die for us. And that nothing, as we'll get to in a little while later in Romans, nothing can separate us from that love. Nothing, no one, nothing. The devil can't, and death itself can't, because death itself will eventually usher us into the everlasting presence of God. So, much less, well, Christ did it. He did it. He died for the weak, the ungodly, the sinners, and even His own enemies, that He might reconcile us to God. But much more, well, let's think about it. There's also a much more to this, and it comes up twice. So let's look at this. Much more, we are saved from the wrath of God and saved by His resurrected life. All right, back in verse 5, we saw that God's hope does not put us to shame. God's love has been poured into our hearts through His Holy Spirit. So we have His Holy Spirit now dwelling in us. We have we've been saved. We've been reconciled to God. We've been saved from wrath. Okay. Now we have wrath in this particular passage. Said it comes up. Verse 9. Okay. Since we have been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. Earlier in Romans, in chapter 2, verse 5, we were told, because of your hard and impenitent hearts, you are storing up wrath for yourselves, that on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. There is wrath being stored upon for the unbeliever who refuses the gospel of Jesus. But Paul says that here, you are saved by Him from the wrath of God. So he says, look, now he's using the, we just did the much less, now we're doing the much more form of argument. Let me try to make sense of this. The much more form of argument. He's saying, look, if we've been justified by His blood, as we've been taught, if we've been made right with God by the blood of Jesus, we've been made right with Him. Well, Jesus hasn't returned yet. The day of the Lord hasn't come in its fullness. The day of judgment, that final day of judgment, hasn't come. And I know that sometimes Christians who know Jesus, who are saved, we have this fear. We still are kind of scared. Am I really going to survive when God comes? Well, if you're in Christ, yes. Yes, you will. Because if He's justified you by His blood, if you're made right with God today, then much more will you be saved by Him from His wrath. If you're in Jesus, God's wrath will never touch you. Do you hear me? You don't have to be afraid of the last day. I mean, y'all, this is real. All of us, whatever our age, we have those moments. You're laying there in bed and you think, man, am I? This thing, this wrath, it's real. The world doesn't like to believe it. They think they get all mad at us for talking about it, but you know what? It's real. But you know what? Jesus took it. He took God's wrath. It's not going to fall on you. Okay, you're safe. I'm gonna get to an actual kind of illustration of this in just a moment. So if He's justified you by His blood, much more will He save you from His wrath. Jesus took it. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be one bit anxious about the return of Christ. If you're in Jesus, you're safe. The name of the Lord's a strong tower. You're safe. The other much more is we'll be saved by His resurrected life. If, verse 10, while we were enemies, if we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. In this case, we're talking about His resurrected life. So, again, let's follow His argument. If while we were enemies, those at odds, hostile. Us and God were hostile to one another. If while we were hostile to one another, we have now been reconciled by the death of Jesus, by his death on the cross, how much more are we that are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life? Jesus is alive, and therefore, on one level, we've been resurrected with him. We live new life. What does Paul say in Corinthians? I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're new. On one level, you've been resurrected. When we partake of the Lord's table, we are, in a sense, brought into heaven to the heavenly banquet table to eat with him. And this, again, is assurance of our resurrection one day as well. Let me give you this illustration. This is one I got from R.C. Sproul Jr. He says, you know, most Christians imagine the end of time, either when we die or when Jesus returns. We imagine that we're standing before heaven, the courtroom of heaven. And there's God in a black robe sitting behind a big bench. And there's a big line of us. And yeah, man, this is how I want us to have a new vision. And we're in line and we're waiting and we're in line to meet before the judge. And so it says, all right, Carmichael, come forward. And I come forward and there he is. And he says, what do you plea? And I say, well, I plead his blood. And he turns over to his son and says, well, what do you think? And he says, I died for him. Let him in. Come on in, Carmichael. So I wipe the sweat off my brow and I go on into heaven. And R.C. Jr. said, come on. That's not what it's like. He said, let me tell you what it's like. Imagine a father and his sons run away. But because of the work of that father, his son far away, living in debauchery in the case of this particular illustration, comes to his senses. He's born again. He's regenerated. He comes to his senses. And he says, wait a minute. I have a father who's got everything. I'm going to go back to him. And in his foolishness, as just an ordinary, he says, you know what? Maybe I can just be his hired hand. I'll just go back and work for him. And at least, hey, I'll have food to eat. But on his way back, he looks. And his father is outside looking, waiting. Sort of like a shepherd with 99 sheep and one's gone astray, and he's going out to look. And what his father does is he pulls his garment up, which is really not appropriate for such a wealthy and a fatherly. He pulls his garment up, ties it, and he runs for him. And he says, come on, son, come home. Let's have a party. That's what is awaiting us. That's what Paul is telling us here. If you who are a sinner, ungodly, an enemy, weak, in a pigsty, in an unclean place, wanting to eat the pod given to the pigs, he says, no, Jesus came and died for you. Come. Come. And so, more than that, what can we do? We rejoice, brothers and sisters, here during Christmas season 2023. Rejoice. Rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. In that movie, the scene shifts at one point to an old man, Ryan, looking at Captain Miller's tombstone. He says, my family's with me today. They wanted to come with me. To be honest with you, I wasn't sure how I'd feel coming back here. Every day, I think about what you said to me on that day on the bridge. I've tried to live my life the best I could. I hope it was enough. I hope that at least in your eyes, I've earned what all you have done for me. Aren't you glad that that is not the gospel? Poor Private Ryan, living that life, that is not the life of the believer. Friends, rejoice in God through Christ Jesus, through whom you have been reconciled to God. He loves you in Christ. He's pleased with you. You are safe in Him. Let's pray. Lord, we know it's only a movie, but it breaks our heart to imagine a human being living every day trying to earn his life that was given him because of the death of another. Lord, we thank you for the gospel that we don't earn it. Jesus earned it in his perfect life. He paid for it in his perfect death, and he guarantees it in his resurrection. Thank you, Jesus, for the gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.